Welcome to Jackson's American Tales. I'm Jackson Jones. In this podcast, we're going to talk to ordinary people all about their extraordinary life stories.
I literally lived on the street for a year, ate at a soup kitchen, and I slept on a park bench. I was that guy.
I am very excited about this week's episode because it has to be, hands down, the craziest interview that we have. This guy is so cool and so interesting, and we're going to find out how someone who grows up in small-town America, goes to seven colleges, ends up on TV, and then grows a world champion-style beard. Enjoy this episode with my very good friend, Walter. This is Jackson's American Tales.
How do I say your last name?
Pronounced Kinnear.
Okay, hang on. But there's a C at the beginning of it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's pronounced Kinnear.
Yep.
So I'm guessing you spent a good majority of your life with people getting your name wrong.
Oh, yeah. And being a ginger is not a stepchild ginger.
Well, you have no soul. So what do you...
I was beat, beat like a redheaded stepchild.
So where are you from?
I am from a little town called Pecatonica, Illinois. Not Pecatonica, Wisconsin.
Okay, because I've heard of Pecatonica, Wisconsin.
Yeah, ours is much bigger.
Okay.
We're at 1,600 people.
Whoa, getting off the metropolitan these days. Yeah. How old are you?
I am 45.
45? You look great for 45.
It's the whiskey.
Speaking of that, I'm going to pour you one right now. Well, what did you bring in? We've never had alcohol on the podcast. What did you bring in with you?
I brought in my favorite. It's called Basil Hayden.
Now, is this the Basil Hayden that you gave me as a wedding gift? Because if it is, I'm going to need a designated driver.
No, I gave you Booker's.
Oh, so
I gave you Basil Hayden at a football game.
That was what it was. I'm not sure if I ever told you about what happened with that, with the Booker's. So I got it and I was drinking it, and I was like, and I like to sip on my whiskey. You've got yours a little bit of Sprite.
Oh yeah,
correct.
A little Sprite.
I like mine straight and plentiful. And I'm sitting outside in my garage because my old roommate and I would hang out in the garage and watch football. And I'm trying to sip on this whiskey. And I'm having a hard time with it. And he noticed. And he looked over at me. And I'm spitting a lot. I'm like, oh, man.
Mm. Oh, no. It's a small batch, strong whiskey.
So he's like, are you okay? And I went, man, I got this bottle of whiskey from Walter. And I think it's bad. And he goes, and he doesn't drink. He used to have a problem. Always says either he was real good at drinking or real bad at it. But either way, he had to stop. So he couldn't taste it to tell. And he goes, I can't tell by smell. And I went, man, I drink my whiskey straight. I drink Jack, and this is a nice whiskey, and I'm having a hard time with it.
You gotta cut it with ice.
So I had another friend come over, and I said, "You gotta try this stuff." And he goes, "Oh man, that is hot. That is hot." And I said, "Okay, is it spoiled? Because it's a really nice bottle of whiskey that this guy gave me." And he's looking at the bottle, and he goes, "Ah, here's your problem. It's 129 proof."
Yeah.
Gave me a bottle of White Lightning. He gave me a moonshine whiskey.
We sat at a bluegrass show, me and five of my buddies, and we went through 3.5 bottles of that.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised you're still here.
And then we finished off another handle of Makers.
Yeah. Man.
It was a good night, but the next day was long. I had the Mondays to Thursday.
That's something to kind of make you rethink about your life decisions.
Yeah.
Do you get rid of this cut-off sleeve t-shirts and sell the Camaro?
Yeah, like, I know. I went straight past the shakes to no way.
Well, thank you for this here. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to you, sir. We're going to have a good episode here. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good right there.
Oh, yeah.
So, what was life like in small town Illinois, Pecatonica, Illinois?
Pecatonica, Illinois.
Yeah.
I'm a stepchild. My last name is DuPont.
Of the DuPont fortune.
I wish. We'd be drinking a lot of this whiskey.
Yeah, yes, we would be.
I haven't met my biological dad since I was 3. Bitter divorce. Typical thing like that. And my mom got remarried, and they asked me when I was like 5, hey, we're going to change your last name. What do you think of that? And I'm like, oh, sure, whatever. Give me a popsicle.
So you said you haven't seen your biological dad since you were 3.
Nope. And he passed away 2 weeks before Christmas, just this last year. And I found out through the obituary that he was actually a Bronze Star recipient and 2 Purple Hearts.
Really? Do you have any feelings about him passing away?
I mean, it's a mixed bag of nuts, as they say. I mean, mm-hmm. it's disappointing I never met him. I reached out to him. I met most of that family. I know they're my cousins and stuff like that. But everyone said after Vietnam, he came back and he just wasn't all there.
He's a little different.
Yeah. He died from complications, supposedly from Agent Orange.
I've heard about people having effects of that, but I've never met someone that had a direct contact with someone with someone of that. Were you born before he left for Vietnam, or did he come back and then?
I was born after.
So age five, you get a new stepdad?
Yep, Gordy.
Gordy, what was Gordy like?
Gordy is a hard-piping, 50s-raised Republican. Family's from Madison.
Okay.
My mom and him met at a church singles night.
Ooh.
But my dad's not religious that I've ever known, so it was kind of weird.
Hey, maybe the chicks are there. You go where the chicks are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where do you date in 1978, you know?
Well, I mean, 1998, my friends and I used to go to a lot of Mormon dances, because here's the thing about Mormons. They got a lot of kids, and a lot of them are daughters. Yes. And they, no felonies.
I mean, it was different. I mean, he's an engineer and they're really dry sense of humor. And I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's always been there now.
What was mom like when you were little?
Mom was a horse person that was a nurse.
What do you mean? You don't mean she's part horse, do you?
No, she has. We have horses.
Oh.
So we grew up with horses. And
I thought maybe she was half horse.
Horse people are their own individual weird. It's like, so my mom owned a saddle shop for about 10 years. So I used to actually set up the horse, at the horse fair every year.
Really?
We used to travel all around the Midwest and go to all the different horse fairs.
Because people that are into horses.
Are weird.
Are into horses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's not a cheap hobby either.
No, they still wear the chick jeans from 1986.
Yeah, they love it. And I'm not going to lie. Some of them look pretty good at it. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
So mom's a horse person.
And when I was younger, was a vice president of a psychiatric hospital. I saw my first split personality when I was 5 years old. My mom was the head nurse at a hospital in Rockford, Illinois called Singer Hospital.
Okay.
And they had a Christmas party. And we were sitting in like we are talking like this. And mm-hmm. there's this guy, and he started talking. And all of a sudden, he looked down and got quiet. And came back up, and he was a woman.
Was he attractive then?
Like that movie, what's the one that came out?
Unless Iron Man was in it, I probably didn't see it.
It's a weird movie.
M. Night Shyamalan-a-dam?
Yeah. Well, it's like that. I mean, it is. It's like when it's a whole nother person. So she went from there, and then she went to the head nurse of Dixon, Illinois.
Did you guys move around a lot?
No, Dixon's from Pecatonica.
Okay. Oh, so all in close areas.
And so with that, and they had the opening of the new hospital there, and so all the kids went in there, and they're like, all the parents are out, and all the doctors are drinking, and they shoved all of us kids into the padded room, shut the door, and we were all playing, jumping off the room. Yeah, so I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff as a kid growing up, and I learned how to play with my teachers a lot because of that, because as a kid growing up, I knew all the, head games you could play, and I did a lot. I like to stir the pot. My teachers used to have to pin the notes on the back of my shirt so I couldn't get to them.
So did you have any siblings?
Two sisters.
Older or younger?
Older.
Older.
They used to beat the tar out of me.
That's okay. So did you get dressed up or anything? Did they use you as their doll?
No, but we used to dress. They dressed me and the dogs up. You know, we used to take pictures of me and the dogs all dressed up in, cowboy outfits, and they had the put cowboy boots on a dog.
Were they old enough to where everyone lived in the house at the same time? Okay. So you all grew up together.
Two and three.
Oh, wow. Were you a good kid or were you a troublemaker?
I was a good kid that never got caught until high school age. Then I got caught a lot. I had a lot of parties and they never knew about it.
So you were a pretty social kid then?
Oh, yeah. I had the parties at my house. My mom was in horses. So every weekend, Thursday night, she'd load up as soon as the weather got nice and then go for a three-day trail ride.
So you had house parties at home?
Oh, yeah.
Anything ever get broken?
One of the last ones we had, some guy's butt got stuck in the wall. But we fixed it. My buddy had a drywall. His dad was a drywall company.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If you have a friend who happens to work a manual labor job, he's the guy to invite to the party because he can fix stuff.
So I was handy back then. So we took it, cut it out, put the wall down there, put all new thing in there, and we painted the whole kitchen.
Did they notice the new coat of paint?
And so it was near her birthday, so I painted the whole kitchen and came in and I told my mom happy birthday. I changed the door out in the house and I painted the kitchen for you because she's been asking about it. Another party, we had a deck and it was kind of falling off the house and it kind of had supports on it. We were out on a party and we're out there jumping around and the deck started falling off the house.
Oh no!
Yeah. So we, people are jumping off the deck, jumping through the sliding glass doors. It's, it's 15 feet in the air.
Yeah, you don't want to fall. I've seen videos of that stuff.
And the deck falls off the house. And everyone's like, what's going to happen now? I'm like, finish the night out. What are we going to do now?
It's already done.
What do you mean?
Just don't step out no more.
And most of the time, most everyone stayed the weekend. So the next morning, we all got up. We went out there and we cleaned up the whole deck, took skill saws, took them all out, took them out in the backyard and had a party that night and had a bonfire with all the wood. And I call, and my mom came home. I'm like, hey, I took my two of my buddies came over. We took the deck down for you.
Just by the way, we got rid of that problem.
It was like we were farm kids. So you always had to have something. You always, farmers never buy anything new. They just collect. The other thing we used to do all the time is at the Okie Dokie is they had the old milk crates where, they're like the 2x2, like everything you have in a college dorm, milk crates.
Yeah.
And they used to have probably 100 of them. So we used to go out there at like 2 in the morning. We'd run out there and take all the milk crates and set them up across Main Street, so all the way across them, to whatever how high we could get them.
Okay.
And then we go on the payphone and call 911. Those goddamn kids are out there messing with Okie Dokie again. There's milk crates all across the Main Street. And we'd make up some like different voice and we'd call in there and then we'd sit in my buddy's house and watch the cops. And he'd come in and like move all, because this is local Yoko police.
Yeah.
Come and move all the thing and we wait like 2 hours. Go out there and do it again.
This poor Barney Fife cop.
Yeah, Barney Fife, hand on the gun. Yeah,
one cop on duty.
One bullet.
You're over there torturing
just
the
torture.
Guy.
We wait again, and we go out there and move it again. And you're like, I just called, and no one's doing anything about this. Milk crates out. Someone's going to get in an accident.
Oh, jeez.
We would do that all summer long.
So in between any of the shenanigans, did you have any jobs that weren't working with the family? Did you work, outside of the house? You said that you worked with your ma and the horse business.
I didn't really do much in high school. No, didn't have to work? Back then, you didn't really... We didn't spend as much money as kids. We hung out, and it wasn't like... After high school, I did. Yeah, I moved out. My parents kicked me out of my house, and I was 18.
So, now, you said you weren't a good student, so I'm guessing college wasn't on the horizon?
I went to 7 colleges.
You went to... Did you go there, or did you just visit
no,
there?
No, I went to 7 colleges.
How did you go to 7 colleges? What was the first one?
I went to college till I was 30.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
So, okay, what was the first college you went to?
Rock Valley College.
For what?
I went as a business major.
How long were you there for?
I was on and off for 3.5 years. It's a junior college. And so I went there and I started as business, and I'm not a good math person. If it wasn't for – that's what I told one of my professors in my four-year college. I go, if it wasn't for math, I'd be a great scientist.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't like that.
It's kind of an integral part of that.
Well, you're not in the right field then. I'm like, I'm a forester. I don't need to know math. I just cut the damn thing down.
So you were going there. So
to Rock Valley.
Then where'd you go after that?
Well, that's how I got kicked out of my house.
You went to college and got kicked out of your house?
Oh, yeah. So I drove my friend down to SIU, which is Southern Illinois University.
Okay.
And he got there and realized his financial aid did not go through. So we moved him in, and they're like, no, you're not moving in. You got to go. So we get down there and we party for like 3 days because we're before school gets off. We're like just tearing her up. And this is a week before her school starts, a week before us. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And so we're partying. Or we move him in. And then he comes back all like weepy. And he's like, I'm done, dude. We got to go back home. So we get in the car and we start driving from from SIU, which is in Carbondale, all the way at the bottom.
Okay.
It's like south of Nashville.
Illinois is, really? Illinois is a long state.
It's a horrible
state. It's a long state.
Second flattest state in the country.
Oh, it's terrible to drive through.
Horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
So we get out of there and we get out of the town limit. And he's like, I just have nothing to do. And my buddy's like, I don't have to go back to work. I just got laid off. I'm like, I don't have to go to school for a week. We should just drive to Florida. And they look at me and I'm like, I don't have to go. I don't have to be anywhere.
How much money did you have on you at this time?
That's the good point. This is why I got kicked out of my house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they're like, how are we going to do this? I'm like, I got my mom's credit card.
What year is this?
This is 1992.
Okay, so things are still relatively cheap-ish.
Oh, yeah, I only spent like...
Gas at that time was what,
98 cents?
Yeah, 89 cents, something like that, a gallon.
So we drove nonstop to... And they're like, where are we going to go? I'm like, I've been to Clearwater like 6 years ago with my family. The beach is great. It's nice white sand.
I go, let's... Your tour guide.
Yeah.
Your travelocity in this thing.
Yeah, I'm like, let's go. And they're like, well, how long is it? I'm like, we're about 20 hours away. We can take shifts. We'll just drive straight through. Drove down there and we got to it was like a Holiday Inn on the beach we stayed at. I'm like, I always want to stay at this hotel. Let's go there. And we get there and I start talking to the girl and I'm flirting with her. And she goes, you have to be 25 to rent a hotel room here. I go, I am. I go, look it. Here's my credit card. It's got my dad's name on it. And I'm like, in fact, I think I'm a senior citizen. I slide it to her and then give her $20 underneath it. I didn't have any cash on it. She goes, well, Mr. Kinnear, it looks like there is a room, an ocean room with a senior citizen discount right now. And I'm like, And we also need a case of beer brought up to the room as soon as possible. And here's my number.
Oh,
because it wasn't a number back then. It was you had pagers back then. You didn't have cell
phones. Yeah.
2 hours later, pager goes off. She calls, and she's like 26 years old.
Oh, there you are. And you're 19?
Oh, yeah.
Attaboy.
And we partied with her for 4 straight days.
Oh, man.
And I called my job up. I was, like I said, I was bagging groceries. I'm like, hey, this is Walter. I'm not going to make it in for a day or so. He's like, hey, we're really short staffed. I went sick. Can you make it back? I'm like, listen, I'm not even close. He's like, 3 or 4 hours. I'm like, listen. And I called him collect.
Hey, man, I called you from Florida.
Yeah, I'm in Florida right now. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, down here in Beach. I'm not coming back for a week. And they still gave me my job back.
Well, I suppose they're short staffed.
No, they love me there.
You're just a lovable guy.
I call my mom. I'm like, don't get mad. I'm in Florida right now. She's like, what now? And like, she lost it. She never swears. Where the f*** are you at? I'm like, I'm in Florida at Clearwater Beach. I'll be back in 3 days. She goes, you better get your ass home. I'll be back in 3 days. And I hung up the phone.
Did she know you were using your credit card?
No.
How long did that take to
find
out?
I had the credit card to buy school books. I bought the school books, went to... She didn't even know I went to SIU.
Oh, really?
I was gone for like 9 days. I used to just disappear for like 3 days in a weekend. My parents fight. I didn't like hanging out at home all the time. They're bad. I mean, they're just not. It's not a fun house.
Back in the day, people, you used to be able to, because you didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have a Facebook update. They'd be like, where's Walter at? I don't know. He was here about a week ago.
Friday.
He'll be around.
He'll be back Sunday.
We'll see him. Yeah.
And they went on a trail ride. So I called them. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in Florida. You better get back here. And I'm like, nah. I came back. House is locked up. I came home. And I had like my dad's army duffel bag that she still had full of the clothes. That was it.
Where did you go?
I slept on my friend's couches for a year. I was basically homeless for a year.
And you were going to college still at the time?
Oh, I went to college, yeah, for that semester and finished out. And then I didn't go the next semester because I didn't have any money.
So then where did you go to college after that?
So I went back to Rock Valley, and then I was at Rock Valley and I moved in with a buddy like 9 months later, and I was sitting, it was right around November. It was my 21st birthday, and my buddy comes up. He's like, listen, FSU is like the number one party school.
Florida State University.
Yeah. He goes, we should go there. And I was, half in a bag. I'm like, sure. Yeah, let's do it. He goes, yeah, start saving up money. Yeah, we're going to go then. When school starts next spring, we're on our way. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're in.
How'd you know you were going to get accepted? You were a C student.
No, in college, I was a good student in college.
Oh, okay. So you had the ability to get accepted to a college.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back then, it wasn't like, it was 21 by then. They don't care.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
And Florida's got a good football team. They've got low. Yeah. That was 94.
It was the juice is loose here.
Oh, yeah.
We got down there. I'm sitting in the bar. OJ's running. It was crazy time back then.
Huh.
And Florida State was...
Oh, I had an FSU jacket. I don't know why, but it was Florida State and the
FSU
holiest.
Duke.
So you went to FSU?
Just for a semester, and I got robbed twice, and I came home.
Well, okay, let's back up to that real quick. What do you mean you got robbed? Like at gunpoint, knife point, potato point?
No, they just broke into our apartment 2 different times and robbed us. It's fun, but it's not a safe school.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing you probably weren't living in exactly the rich kid.
No, I was living right across from the dorms.
Really?
Yeah. I lived like a half a mile we moved down there to party and watch football.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've always wondered why an insane amount of crime happens in poor neighborhoods. If I was to commit crime, I'm going to do it in college students or rich neighborhoods because you guys got something I can take.
And we lived in a college area.
There you go. Yeah, you're kind of setting yourself up.
We had nice, not terrible stuff, but it was back in the day when you had big tower 12-inch speakers.
The hi-fi sound.
I mean, if you had 12-inch speakers, 12 or 15, you had to get the Pioneers.
Yeah, big wood cabinets that they were in and stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, we had, I mean, just
and,
wood.
And the neighbors knew you had them because they could hear them.
Oh, yeah.
So after FSU?
Then I moved back to Illinois. I came back. I hocked. The only thing I had left was my mountain bike and my microwave. And I went to the pawn store, sold that, and got a plane ticket and came back.
Both your mountain bike and your microwave?
Yeah.
How much did you get for it?
Was $182.
And that was enough to get a plane ticket?
I had to get another $20 for a plane ticket.
And then you came back?
I came back with a garbage bag full of clothes. I looked like
didn't even have the army bag anymore.
No. That army bag was gone.
Gone a long time ago. Yeah. So what did you do when you got back?
I moved in with my buddy that lived in a trailer down in Rockford, Illinois, and I worked at Subway and drank my sorrows away for a semester.
Regular college thing there, I think?
No, it was Rockford, Illinois. It was just a dirt hole town. Rockford's horrible. They had quarter drafts Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd work at Subway, during the day from 11 to 7. And then we just, I mean, just for three months, just like I had no ambition. Like, I mean, it was demoralizing to get robbed like that.
Oh, I bet it was. Yeah, when you have nothing and someone comes and takes the rest of the nothing you have.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what else you could have pawned.
Yeah.
You could have got maybe a business class ticket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Down in Rockford, they had 5 or 6 go-go bars.
What's a go-go bar?
A go-go bar is a strip club that you don't take. You just go down to bra and panties.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah. It's in Illinois.
People pay for that?
I never paid.
Okay, because you're charming. You're going to charm your way in. But
I didn't have any money. Worked at Subway. Worked at Subway. Like, I came back with a garbage. I mean, I ate at Soup Kitchen. When my mom kicked me out, I literally lived on the street for a year. I ate at a Soup Kitchen. When people say you're broken, I slept on a park bench. I was that guy. I mean, I didn't sleep in a bed for 3 years. I didn't talk to my family for a year. They were not happy.
So you had to be at the behest of good friends who would let you stay at their place.
Yeah, and I mean, and people like me. I'm charming. And like I said, I get along.
Because I like to think that let's say my whole world came to an end today. I lost my job. I lost all my money. I like to think that I would be able to have enough friends to let me crash on their couch because I'm a nice, delightful person.
Right. I mean, I worked, but when you have nothing and when you have need an apartment for $400 a month, you need $400 deposit. I mean, I didn't have a car. Like, you can't build a house with a shit pile.
And I
didn't even have a shit pile.
Absolutely.
You know, I worked and I used my money that I saved. I kept going to school the whole time. So I was, you know, and I kept my jobs and I eventually saved enough money and I bought a car and then I got enough for an apartment, and I moved up and then I just kept on going. And
so now, okay.
It's always those setbacks. I go to Florida. I got robbed. I come back. I had some money and then I came back with a garbage bag of clothes. I had no money.
And you're starting all over again.
And by then I'm demoralized. By then I became a raging alcoholic. I'm hitting a quarter draft night. $4 or $5 at a quarter draft night. And you're king of the world.
Alcohol, the cause and solution to all world's problems.
Yeah.
You know, and also another thing that you're saying there is, you know, when you get knocked down and get demoralized, everyone says have a positive attitude. It's hard to have a positive attitude when you keep getting kicked in the ass. Like that. And that's one of the most important times. It's easy to be positive when life's going good. But when you're down and it looks like nothing ever positive is going to happen again, it's hard to do that. And that's,
I kept on getting beat up in the one-legged kicking contest, and I wasn't the man with the one leg.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard to deal with.
Yeah.
So you're working at Subway. You're going to go-go bars, hitting the bottles hard.
Back then, that's when I had long hair, you know, shaved in the sides.
You don't look like the classy picture of etiquette that we see before us today, though.
Because back then I had like the goatee. I'd have sideburns, pork chops. I grow facial hair pretty well. I mean, I can.
Yeah, we'll get into that. You seem to have a knack for that.
And I met this one of my friends when I came back. I met his friend Gloria. And she had lymph node cancer. They gave her 12% chance of living. Became really good friends with her. And she lost her hair, and I had long hair, and I shaved my head with her. And I donated my hair then, and I've done it 6 times since then.
And you have nice hair.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And it wasn't as gray back then.
So I was going to ask you about that. Are you still able to do it, or do you need to donate to older cancer patients?
No, they still take the, they
there's just now a 10-year-old that's got 50% gray.
What they
do
is they actually roll your hair out flat in a thing, like a machine, and then they bleach it. And they strip your hair down completely.
Wow.
So now you don't even care. They don't even care if there's product.
And then they dye it, I'm assuming. Yeah, they just dye it. To match the chart.
My mom actually started talking to me again was that time. Because I hadn't talked to her since she kicked me out. This is about a year. This has only been about 16 months. And I hadn't talked to my parents.
Did you talk to your stepdad?
I haven't talked to
him. Or you call him dad, though, correct?
Yeah. I haven't. Then I did. And now I haven't talked to him again in 5 years. We were sitting at her house. And I might have started smoking pot then.
Possibly
a lot. Yeah. And we're sitting at her house, and because she's, you know, I mean, she's hooked up to all this stuff. You know, she's getting drips. I mean, she went from 162 pounds down to almost 100 pounds.
Your friend,
Gloria.
Gloria, yes.
And we're trying to cheer her up, and we're over there, and it was like I was just doing concrete work at the time. And this is after Subway. It's gotten nice. It's midsummer. We're sitting there, and Jenny Jones is on. We're laughing about the shows and all that stuff back then. And I'm like, oh, these shows, anyone can get on them. All you need is a good story. All you need. And you just, whatever you want to do, you can get on these. And she's like, you can't do that. I'm like, I can do anything I want. I'm Walter. And I'm kind of pompous like that. I'm like, I talk myself up a lot, and I really shouldn't. And all of a sudden, we're talking. We're, you know, passing stuff around, you know, having a drink. And all of a sudden, she hands me you know, the house phone. And she goes, here you go. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, it's Jenny Jones. Prove me wrong. And I get on the phone, and everyone's, like, kind of listening. The phone gets on there, and it's ring, ring. And all of a sudden, hey, this is Jenny Jones. You called about a show idea? I'm like, yeah. I'd like to talk to you about getting on the show if possible. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I know this girl, and I'd really like to tell her that I'm in love with her, and I want her to tell her on your show if it's possible. And she's like, okay. I'm like, yeah. I go, I'm from a small town. I just moved to a big, kind of a bigger city now, and I've never really been out much. And I started talking to her, and I really think she's into me, but I really don't know how to do it. I'm not a really sociable guy, you know, and I just really want to get, you know, really impress her. And I think if I take her on your show, she'll do it. And they're like, well, yeah, I don't know. We don't really have anything coming on there. Well, what's interesting about it? I'm like, well, I met her at a gentleman's club about 2 months ago, and every time I go in there, she comes and sits on my lap, and I really think she's into me for it. She goes, hold on 1 minute. I'll get a producer. And she's like, and I'm sitting there on pause, and people aren't paying much attention. And all of a sudden, a producer comes on the phone. She goes, hi, is this Walter? I'm like, yeah. She goes, can you tell me my story again? And so I tell her a story again, and I talk it up like I'm just this shy farm kid, and I never dated a girl before, and I met this girl at this gentleman's club, and I think she's into me. And she's like, well, what's the name of the club, and what's the girl's name? I go, her name is Wendy. She dances at such and such, and I think if we can get a hold of her, it would be a great idea if we get her on a show. And she goes, you know, we might have a show coming up in like 3 or 4 weeks. Would you be interested coming up?
Where was Jenny Jones filmed at this
Chicago.
Time? Okay, so you're right there.
Yeah, yeah. And Jenny Jones is like big back
that
then.
Was
– This is
if, – so, if you're listening and you don't know who Jenny Jones is, that was Jenny Jones, Sally Jesse Raphael, Ricky Lake. This is the beginning of the glory days of Jerry Springer.
And this is the same time that right after I went on that show was the one where they had – Secret Admirers, and they shot somebody.
Yeah, that was on Sally Jesse. Was that Sally Jesse?
No, it was Jenny Jones.
Here's what Jenny Jones was good as a young man growing up. You always knew you were going to have a chance of seeing quality side boob.
Yeah,
because they would always have the "I once was a nerd, but now look at me, I'm super hot."
Yeah,
they would have like these strippers come out.
And back then, back then they would give you money to go on trips.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so they would always like, "Hey, we're going to send you to Jackson Hole for the weekend so you two can live it up, and we're going to send a camera crew and see how everything goes, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, I'm living this in my head. I'm already thinking 10 steps ahead.
Really a girl?
Oh, yeah. But she didn't know yet. And she was a stripper. And I knew her from high school.
God.
Went that night at her house party. We ended up partying all day. Ended up going to the strip club. Tell them the girl that I know that's a stripper, because I went to the go-go bars pretty often back then.
You're a freaking flyer.
Yeah, freaking flyer. I had my own seat and my name on it. The kind with the little buttons on the side that make it really nice and cosh.
Oh, yeah.
The high-quality red one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I went up to her, and I'm all half in a bag. I'm like, hey, listen, I called Jenny Jones. I told them about us. I told them that I'm in love with you. If they call, we're doing it. We're getting a vacation. Set it up. You're gonna fall for me.
So, did you really have the hots for this chick?
We went out a few times.
Okay, all right. I'm guessing if she danced professionally, she was easy on the eyes.
I mean, it was dark.
Okay, or not?
She was cute. Yeah. I mean,
she could have worked the day shift. I don't know.
No, she could have.
You wouldn't have kicked her out of bed for eating crackers.
No. I mean, she could eat, saltines. I mean,
you go. Okay.
I could have got, like, paper cuts.
And
still would have been fine.
And you wouldn't have minded. Okay. All right.
I mean, she was good to go. She was the best one there.
Okay. And you clued her in on the gig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was all about it. She was dating a guy at the team, too.
Whatever. Free vacation. Yeah, he's not taking her on vacation?
Yeah. I'm like, if he's not coming with, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if we go, we're going.
It was the two of us.
Yeah,
you gotta leave him at home.
It's not like.
We'll send him a postcard.
Yeah, he's not part of the camera crew.
Yeah.
We'll have our own cameras. So I go up to Hayward, and we come back to Lumberjack. My roommate's like, listen, you know, I have an apartment and stuff at this time. And he's like, Jenny Jones has been calling you. I'm like, back then, you know, beep. You're like, I had 8 messages from Jenny Jones. Like, call us. We've been getting a hold. I was gone for a week. We're filming this in 2 days. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no instant messaging back here. There's no cell phone.
No, there's a lot of, like, 2 days. Like, you need to get. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I got to call her up, get her story straight.
We could get up there.
We got to. And so I'm calling my boss, and I was doing concrete back then. I'm like, listen, and my boss is a born again Christian.
So he's not a fan of the Jenny Jones show.
Not a fan of my party and, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm like, listen, I'm done. I got to go. I'm taking the next 2 days off. He's like, you've been gone for a week. He's got a high pitch voice. You've been gone for a week, Walt. You can't just take 2 more days listen, I'm going to Jenny Jones with a stripper.
This is not gonna work. You're coming to work.
I'm done. I'm going to Jenny Jones. I'm not turning this down. So I'm calling all my buddies, and they're like, I can't go. And I'm like, when Jenny Jones called me, I'm like, listen, I've never been to Chicago before. I've never even been on an escalator. I'm making it sound like I'm just the biggest Rube in the whole state.
You're going big city. Big city living.
I'm like,
here.
I don't have money. And they're like, don't worry, we're sending a limo for you. When you get there, you're gonna have cash. Everything in the hotel is for free. You guys have a good time. Come and we're going to film the next day. And I'm like, all right, can I bring a friend? Because someone show me around and be safe. And he's like, yeah, bring a friend. Set us up in a suite. They pick us up in a limo. I finally got a buddy. Go there. We get just wrecked. I've been to Chicago. I don't know how many times before that. Rush Street. We're going to concerts. We get back at 5:30 in the morning. We're supposed to be at Jenny Jones at 7.
Oh, and you gotta look good.
They had to call the security guard at the hotel to come and wake us up and get us out of the room to get us showered and stuff. I get to Jenny Jones. I'm already puked like 4 times that day.
Oh, no.
Hung to the nuts. And it's cold in those rooms. They keep it. I'm just got the shakes. Yep. The makeup artist, they got pictures of them putting makeup on me and stuff. I got the long ponytail, shaved side head. And I got this nasty-ass zit on my neck.
No.
And it's like, I didn't like notice it. And she's like, I'll try putting covering it up. And it looks like a hickey.
Oh, geez.
So I go on there and I get on the show and I'm like the last one. And I'm the only one that gets a date out of the whole show. She comes out and she whispers in her. And you can hear it on the TV. Like, that's a hickey on your neck. And I'm like, no, it's a zit. And I'm just, the only thing they gave us is like $300. What's your $300 back then? That's a good show. We split it $150.
But you got a trip to Chicago.
Yeah.
Got drunk on Jenny Jones.
Oh, man, did we get drunk.
Do you have a clip of that? Have you ever been able to find that?
I can't find it.
Man.
And so that was the summertime. I moved to Wisconsin September 3rd of 95. Day I moved here was the day the show aired. So it was midsummer.
Did you tell your mom that you were going to be on Jenny Jones?
No, I didn't tell anybody. And I had a girlfriend at the time, too. I called her from Chicago.
You didn't tell anybody?
No, I didn't tell anybody.
In the world
of... Because it happened in 2 days.
In the world of status updates where everyone has to tell everyone something, I can't imagine that at some point somebody would do something that big.
But you couldn't do it. It's 1995. You couldn't.
I suppose.
I came back from fishing for a week. I hadn't seen anybody. I was up in Hayward.
You smell like stink bait. You're heading to Chicago.
Yeah. I like been just getting shit bombed there. Like it's Hayward, Wisconsin, Lumberjack Fest. It's like September 3rd. I move up to Wisconsin. I'm telling my boss, first day at work. Listen, I got a question for you. Is there any place you watch Jenny Jones? So I had to tell him the whole story.
Okay.
Jumped forward. And all of a sudden that night I get a phone call from my aunt. She's not coming to Thanksgiving. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, I saw Jenny Jones today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm not telling my mom that I went to a stripper on Jenny Jones.
Why would you tell her it was a joke?
Oh, I did. I had to. But still, you don't tell. I mean, my mom, I mean, they're conservative, Catholic. You know, I'm like, I'm the crazy ginger kid. You know, I'm the only redheaded. I'm the only redhead in my entire family. I still think I'm a mailman's kid. Like, I'm 6 foot tall. I'm 4 inches taller than everyone in my family. I'm like the giant. Like, I'm just a picture.
You're the jolly ginger giant.
You know, now they're used to me. My family thinks I'm nuts, and they're just used to the stuff I do. This is the beginning of the nutty stuff. I told my friend I had cancer. Boom, done. You owe me.
You made it happen. You made it happen.
That was my first time on TV.
So what are you doing in Madison, Wisconsin now? You're here.
My dad started, he was an engineer, and him and two of his buddies decided it would be a great idea to start the retirement fund by buying old fraternities and turning them into apartment buildings. So we bought a first fraternity. It went well. We made a lot of money on it. And 3 months later, they went around the corner, saw another one, and bought that one.
Wow. So what were you? What was your part in this? Were you doing? Because you've done some manual labor. Were you helping work?
I did the concrete part, but I learned every from then. I did concrete work. I worked at Subway, and he's like, "You're gonna learn." So from then on, I learned everything. I learned how to frame. I learned how to do electric.
Wow.
I was straight edge. That's why I went to MATC then. I went to UW. That was two of the other colleges. I just took two classes.
Still, they won't even let me inside the doors, and my wife is a professor there. Yeah, I'm not out on the ground. So like, yeah, we saw his transcripts.
Yeah.
Stay away.
So, I mean, but it was like I would work and I just take like a class randomly. I moved here to go to Stevens Point to get my 4 year there because I wanted to be an urban forester.
Urban forester.
Yeah.
So what?
But then I moved here and I started working and 6 years later I just kept on working. But then I finally went to Stevens Point.
Okay. So then you moved up to Stevens Point and you've been to so much school. And then so you're studying forestry in Stevens Point?
Yep.
And how long did you go to Stevens Point?
3 semesters.
Did you graduate or did
No.
you? Okay.
I did not graduate because I was living with my girlfriend. I met in Madison. I met her at MATC, and we lived together. And I went to, lived with her, and a week before Christmas, comes up to me, and she goes, "We're done."
Oh.
And I kind of saw it coming. You know, you kind of get clues. I mean, it wasn't like we were – that was the shocker. And I thought I was going to marry this girl. I mean, I was
really?
I've never been a guy that – I've never wanted kids. Never. Never wanted.
I have one. They're not really all.
No, but and I've always, my mom told, even at 14 or 13 or 14, my mom would ask me, and she's like, you know, Catholic.
Yeah.
I want grandbabies. And she would say that. I'm like, you're not getting them.
Do your sisters have kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least she got her grandbabies.
Yeah. Yeah. They got, she got grandbabies.
Okay.
Crazy Uncle Walter. They so call me King Walter.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's King Walter, not Uncle Walter. King Walter.
I like that. That's good. So, okay. So this is the one, maybe the one that
got
away.
One, I thought. And then all of a sudden she's like, yeah, I'm done. I call my buddy up. He's going to Northland College in Ashland. I'm like, hey, you coming back?
In Ashland?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, you coming back? He's like, yeah. I'm like, stop at Stevens Point. He's like, why? I'm like, I've got to load up my I'm done.
So were you guys living together?
Oh, yeah.
And you had to split.
She told me. She's like.
How old were you at this time?
30.
So your buddy come picked you up and where'd
picked
you go?
Picked me up. I had a 245-pound English Mastiff at the time. I had a 1972 Volvo DL. Thing was a tank.
So you took your dog in your car?
Put enough room in the dog.
Did you take the dog with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Dog's not going. Dog. Yeah, dog. Good call. Everyone I knew at State Street knew Hades.
Hades. That was a great name.
And packed everything up, moved back to Wisconsin, moved back to Madison. And
was that the end of college?
That was the last. I might have taken like, you know.
A couple classes here and there?
Better class in area, but nothing. But that's the end of college.
So what did you come back and do?
Drank. Went back, called, got my dad's old business partner, you know, and went back to him. And he's like, well, I don't have anything work for you right now. You know, this is right after Christmas. And I didn't and I didn't tell my family.
What year is this?
This is.
You were 30?
No, this is the year after 9/11.
It's 2002.
2002.
Economy's not doing real well at this time either.
No, we were doing well.
But jobs are still kind of hard to come by.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, manual laborers ain't making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went to school. I was going to school for urban forestry. But when I learned, when I was going there too, I realized I didn't want to be an urban forester. I wanted to be.
What the hell is an urban forester?
They're the ones that plan your city planning for your trees, your boulevards, your parks.
So trying to put a nice tree inside of a urban area.
Yeah. And I realized when I was going to school, I didn't really like that. The original reason I wanted to go was back in Rock Valley 8 years earlier, and I saw a National Geographic article about people climbing trees in the redwoods. And I want to be in the – that's my future goals, either be Colorado or Northwest.
You like climbing trees?
Love it. I can't do it very well.
Okay.
I want an experience.
Time out here real quick.
I don't have the experience enough to do it. And it's a hard trade to learn. And now I'm old. I don't want to do it anymore. But back then I did. Like, you have to get saddled up. You have to rope. You have to have a really core strength. I'm 45 years old. I ain't got no core strength. I had to get down. You tell me to do 15 push-ups.
Well, I'm not going to lie. This basil hay that we've been drinking ain't exactly bringing any core strength.
I'm not
in either one of us.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing any. Not going to break any record doing push-ups right now.
Okay.
If I had to go down to my beard length and back up, I'm good. I'll be like, I could knock out 100.
As long as the beard touching the ground, we're good.
We're good.
All right. So in 2002,
I moved back here, and my boss is like, I don't have much work. So I come back, my roommates, he's like, hey, Rutabaga's hiring. They look like they hire dirty hippies. Why don't you go apply? And I had, again, long hair back then. I was growing it back out. I think I had crazy pork chops back then, like 4-inch pork chops just flared out. And so I went there and interviewed, and they're like, yeah, you're hired right now. I'm like, what? Yeah, we're actually training right now for the Canucopia show. We want you to start right now.
For the what?
Canucopia.
What's
that?
It's
the largest canoe and kayak show in the world. It's here in Madison.
Okay.
They have over 200,000 people go to it.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's great. It's a really good show.
Do you like to canoe?
I do. I love canoeing. Camping, canoeing, kayak. I'm not a kayaker, but canoeing, camping, yeah. Anything outdoors.
It's like a lot of work.
No.
I get up every day and go to work so I don't sleep outside. So I will very rarely volunteer to do that.
Oh, see, I would.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I lived in a park.
You've got a little bit different. I mean, you're looking to do urban
and
forestry.
Back then, it's like, and that's my other goal is like, I want to do the America 3. There's the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Rim Trail, and then there's one from that goes along the Rockies to the Mexico.
Now, is this mountain climbing or hiking?
Hiking.
Okay. Mountain climbing seems ridiculous.
No, these are hikes. But
hiking, okay. That seems like
And I
want to
do those. That's like, if I could do anything right now. Have you done any
of them yet?
No.
Okay.
But it's hard because now I'm in a relationship. You tell someone you're in love with or you're dating or living with or anyone, you're like, hey, I'm going to take off this whole summer and I won't see you. Why? I'm going to walk a trail from, you know, Arkansas to Maine. No, you're not.
We got rent to pay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't pay rent now, but. I mean,
we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So,
I worked at Rutabaga part-time and then I worked at my boss's part-time and then all of a sudden these tree cares come in. It's like, hey, you want to start working for us again? I'm like, no, because I was heartbroken. I was hitting the bars in Madison.
You're still having a hard time from this relationship.
Yeah. I mean, this is all within 45 days.
Okay.
This is all right. Pretty – man, I was busted up.
It takes people sometimes years to get over someone like this. Absolutely.
And I left Lake Mill or Stevens Point, you know, I was in college. I put the freshman 40 on, but I was 30. I went up to Stevens Point at 195. I left there at 236.
Well, you get comfortable with somebody.
Oh, man.
You
let yourself go. I was bartending up there, too.
Yeah, you started drinking whole milk.
Oh, Jesus. I was drinking whole whiskey. So I came back, and I started working out. I went back down to 200 pounds. Looking fit, you know, and I was hitting the college bars. I was doing all right. I was making – and I went to start working full-time for my dad's business again. So I was making $25 an hour.
Okay.
I wasn't paying rent.
You don't have any kids. You don't have responsibilities.
I started hanging out with the football players. That's when Brooks Bollinger and all those guys were here.
So you're hanging out with
all those guys, yeah.
I mean, you guys still own
– I don't think I paid for a football game in my life.
So you guys still owned property downtown.
Within that first 3 years of us starting a business, we went from one building to 19 rental buildings with 105 units.
Rental.
We went from zero to 110.
Rental property, kids. Rental property is where you want to invest your money.
Yes.
Rental property.
It is.
So you're helping run that kind of stuff. Yeah, and by then I was having good times.
He's like, hey, you know, I shaved my back then, and I shaved up. I got clean cut. You know, I started wearing.
Tell me what you mean shaved. You just scratched your chest when you said shaved up.
Shaved my beard.
I didn't know if like, no, you were going like.
I shaved. I got clean cut. I got the whole, you know, $25 haircut.
Okay.
Got, you know, I was wearing like button down shirts, you know. Roll them up to like you are.
I have got right now to hide the fact that I'm fat.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was living high in the hog. I mean, I was showing apartments, signing leases.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, this is the year that Big Ten had the Playboy girls.
I remember one of the girls that I lived next door to was in that magazine.
And yeah, I know. Yep, and one of them we know.
Well, we don't need to get into that. Yes, we do. Very nice young lady.
And she actually was my tenant.
Are you serious?
Yes. And she has, I actually have her signed Playboy article, and I got it for my dad's 50th birthday.
That's so
funny.
They're
living in our building with three of them, and I go up to the room, I'm like, and they knew me, but she doesn't remember me.
You know, I will say this.
She doesn't remember me.
And she should not because she has a very nice body. She has no shame about it. Her mom actually helped her pick out her outfit. Quote, the one thing she was wearing. During that, her mom went out and helped her pick that out. And so her family knew that she was doing that. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I looked like that, I'd do the same damn thing. And
the Collegian.
That's
we
funny.
Built the Collegian right next to the KK.
Okay, but next to the college club.
We owned that one. And then we had partnerships. We owned the Varsity, which is where the old Burger King used to be.
Okay.
And then a bunch of the Tutta Pasta on State Street.
Oh.
The Skywalk, that building right there.
So, okay.
We had a lot of buildings.
So how long were you doing that for?
All the way up until 2005, 2006.
So what did you do after that?
I got married.
What?
Yeah.
You've been married?
Yeah.
I was married for 8 years.
Yeah.
For 8 years?
8 years.
Who was this gal?
She was the librarian at Rock Valley College when I went there.
So you knew her from back in the day and reconnected with her?
Yeah. So we dated and like talked on and off. We could never date because we were always dating someone else when the other person was single. So
yes.
We were always, what do you call it, crossing ships or whatever?
No idea.
Whatever that phrase is.
I don't know. I'm two glasses in right now.
So we did that and we started dating again and we got married. And
then so you were married for how long?
8 years.
For 8 years.
Yeah.
So
two or three were great, and the rest were not.
But and that's why most people get divorced because more are not than they are. So then you guys got divorced, and what year did you get divorced?
We got married in 2004 or 2005. We got married.
So then 2012 or 2013 then.
Yeah, yeah.
So what were you doing? What'd you find yourself doing then?
So we got married, and she used to come into my. She works for Delta Airlines, And not as a flight attendant, but in the airport. So she was, we were living in Broadhead. Well, you know where that is.
Oh, yeah. I got some friends who live there.
She was driving all the way to Milwaukee.
So that's a hike.
Yeah. So we were, that first year was rough. Mm-hmm. She came from Boston back, and then we were looking for a place to live halfway between. So we picked Lake Mills. And she used to come in after because she worked a weird shift. So she'd come into my office. And, and I'm in an office. It's a big desk. It's a big room like this. You'd come in there, and I'd be in, there'd be like four girls coming from their room. Hey, we need this done. We need this done. Well, back then, that's when yoga shorts were just getting – they weren't popular, but they were getting
– I used to be the bouncer over at the comedy club when yoga pants started being
smelly
popular.
Smelly butt pants, that's what we used to call them.
And I did not call them that. I called them fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that's back – they were different material back then.
Okay.
So it's like wearing nylons. And I don't know if that's another story.
But yeah. But thank you, Lululemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
doing the Lord's work.
So she came in and she saw that. And she's like, no, you're not working here anymore. I'm not having you sit here while I'm at work and you sitting at watching 19 to 24-year-old girls come in your office all day long. I don't want to worry about that. And I'm like, okay.
Not going to lie. Decent issue to have.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like downtown? You know?
Oh, it was a horrible job.
Yeah. How did you ever get by?
I know. I mean, so, and I'm like, I'm like, listen, I make $25 an hour. We don't pay rent where we're at, so you need to find something that I can do that's comparable. 2 days later, she comes home and she goes, you got an interview for the post office. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, you got a job interview with the post office. I'm like, really? Yeah, they start out at $21 an hour. Okay. So I did the interview. I passed it, and I went and started doing the post office. I started being a rural carrier in Madison, and we were living in Lake Mills at the time. But then I was just a part-time carrier, so I was making crap load of money because I was working 7 days a week.
Mail carriers work themselves to death.
Yeah, it was Mailman Bob or Bill, whatever.
Mailman Jeff?
Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually worked with him. He doesn't remember that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Love Mailman Jeff.
Yeah, he is a great guy. Yeah. He works at the Cap Center. So I only went in there a couple times, but I know some of the supervisors. Anyway, so from then on, it started slowing down. So then I worked in Lake Mills, and I saw an ad in there for the Parks Department, and I'm like, hey, this is what I always want to do. I'll get in there. And then I worked there part-time. And I had a point where I got divorced. And it was a point where the post office is, I had to choose one or the other. And I'm like, that's what I always want to do. And I've been working for the Park District for the last 10 years now.
So what do you do? What are your duties for the Park District?
Summertime, I take care of the parks. Obviously, I'm in charge of the cemetery.
Wait, do you have to mow the cemetery?
Yeah. 13 acres, 6,800 tombstones.
So
6,832.
You got to dodge in between them tombstones.
Weed whip every one of them.
This is something that I don't think a lot of folks realize. When you drive by and you see something that looks real nice, like a nice piece of lawn, especially a tombstone when you're out visiting your loved one, there's somebody who's got to take care of that grass. It has to be mowed once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Once a week.
I've got it down to a system now. I know if I'm behind. I know if I'm an hour behind.
So if you know, when you're at a certain grave marker where you need to be by a certain time.
Oh, yeah. If I know by Tuesday if I'm already behind.
How many days does it take you to mow it?
With two people, it takes the whole week, and that's ball busting.
Did you dig any of the graves?
No, I have twice. It was the weirdest experiences of my life.
What, did you use a backhoe for that?
One, we couldn't because there was a water. It was like you had to actually get down and dig it. Because it was all rocky.
And they got to be straight. They have to be like
it took
to a certain.
Three of us,
you can't be having some junky old grave.
Feet down, yeah.
Well, you can't be having some junky old half dug grave for grandpa to be going into.
Well, the guy, they couldn't afford it, so we had to do it by hand.
What do you mean they couldn't afford it?
It's tombstones are like there's the different levels you can pay for. Like if you want this hand dug, it's $800.
Really?
You want a backhoe, it's like $1,800. Like they put this guy in like a box.
How much would it cost me to get a couple of dachshunds just to dig a small hole to put my ashes into? Can I knock somebody out for $50?
You can't put unless you have a pre-existing site on a farm of your family at graves, you can't do that legally in Wisconsin. You have to go into like an actual cemetery.
So if I've got a can of grandpa's ashes, I can't just go put them into a field?
Nope. Gets the law. You know, you can't do it. You know, you can't expose them in the river or anything else.
That's nobody wants to drink grandpa. Nobody wants. I totally understand that.
I want to do the Viking thing where they shoot the arrows. Bing!
Well, see, that's what you get burned up, and you know, you're out to sea.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. But yeah, you don't be dumping grandpa on the Wisconsin River. No, that goes into our drinking water at some point. Let's not be fooling with that.
Yeah.
Wow. So now let's get into real quick. You live in a 6,000 square foot
chicken coop.
Chicken coop.
Yes.
What's
no
going
chickens
on?
In it though?
No chickens in
it. No,
that.
There's no chickens in it.
Oh, except for the ones you put in the frying pan.
Yeah, I love those.
Oh yeah, they're the best.
They are.
So
good.
How do you move into a chicken coop? Why are you living in a chicken coop? Why was this a chicken coop? What's going on?
So I got divorced, and I had a friend that I met at a bar, and he was in a bluegrass band. And he's like, yeah, come out to my place. I live in a coop. I'm like, what do you mean a coop? He's like, yeah, I live in a chicken coop. And it was just down the road. I mean, I lived in Lake Mills. I met a bar in Lake Mills. He's a great guy. I worked for Trek. Because I worked for Trek, and at Trek, there's this place in here, and they put an ad up like, hey, this place needs a place. You have to be a caretaker. So you take care of this farm. The person doesn't live there. I'm the caretaker.
Okay.
So at that time, he was a caretaker. And I had never met the woman that owned it. They lived there for 6 years. And that whole 6 years, I met her twice. First time I met her, I was they had a bluegrass show out there. So I was all hopping around and just, you know,
yeah,
being me.
Having fun.
Yeah. And I was sober, and she thought I was drunk because I was just spaz. And the second time I met her, I had just got out work, and I actually had a concussion because I got hit in the head. And she's like, yeah, your friend Walter's a little off. And we were hanging, and I didn't tell him at the time. Like, I literally had, like, got 8 stitches in my head that day. I had something come down and hit me in the head at work. And we were hanging up lights in the barn because they play bluegrass. The barn,
yeah.
The barn's turned into, like, a stage.
So wow.
Yeah, so if you're going to do a comedy show and have your friends out there, you're more than welcome to it. It's great.
I love the sound
of
that.
Big acoustic. So we hung up all these Christmas lights, and we're up, you know, 20 feet in the ladder, and I'm doing all the high stuff because I'm the arborist or tree climber.
You, yes.
Like, so get up there and do the eye work. While I get done, I'm like, you know, he's like, what's wrong with you today? I'm like, listen, I'm gushing blood. Like, and then I end up going to the hospital the next day. They did a CAT scan, had a concussion, had to get 8 stitches. And she's like, and so they told her, I'm like, what was your friend's wall? He's like, yeah, he actually had a concussion today. She's like, don't put him on the ladder. She's like, what were you doing? He's like, I didn't know either. He's just that type of guy. He's like, you need help. He's not coming help. And so then I kept on telling her, like, I'm moving in here. I'm gonna be their next caretaker. And so like 6 months later, they had a baby. They're out.
Oh.
So I called her up like randomly. I'm like, hey, this is Walter. She's like, Walter. I'm like the guy that was hanging your Christmas lights. She's like,
remember the guy with the concussion?
Yeah. She's like, I go, when do I move in? She's like, what? I'm like, I want to move into the coop. She goes, well, I'm gonna have to do a background check on you. I'm like, so can we start this right now?
I don't have any felonies. Yeah, feel free.
And so I was joking around with her. And she's like, well, let me talk to Ryan and Jen, a couple other people, and we'll see what it is. And she called me like 2 days later. And she's like, all right, you can move in. I moved in, and I've been there for 4 years now.
So something we didn't get into that we need to definitely get into, that beard.
Oh.
When did you start growing that beard?
July will be 7 years.
In July.
July will be 7 years.
So why did you, because you don't have, there's people that keep a, you know, a close-knit, you know, beard. You don't have, you've got, your beard shows up before you walk in the room. I mean, honestly, your beard is a topic of conversation. When people see your beard, that's the first thing they ask you about, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's pretty predominant.
So what is it that made you grow such a fantastic follicle freakishness?
Well, I appreciate that. Like I said before, as we talked, I've always been like funky hair. I've always had like the weird pork chops or like,
yeah.
I had the goatee that came up with no sideburns, and I always would grow, or I'd grow it way down like Jim Danville, Neinhardt. Okay. As a kid, I want that goatee. It looks like Jim. Guys have red hair. And sorry, I was actually just moving a beard out of my mouth.
Mustache will do that. I had the same
and
problem.
I had a really nice beard growing. It was about 4 inches. And my friends that lived in a coop had their wedding. And I'm like, everyone in the wedding grew the beard out.
Okay.
And so I'm like, all right. So we all started at the same time. We're like, hey, let's see who can do the best beard. I smoked them.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And we have a little bit of that.
You do a little touch in there. I'm ahead of you right now.
And so I get done, and after the wedding, so then I might have got inebriated at their wedding a little bit, everyone did.
Seems to be a theme in a lot of your stories here.
Oh, man, I really like my whiskey. And so did they. It was, you know, they had bluegrass band, and that's what I'm into now, a lot of bluegrass. And I might have puked in a lot of it, and I kind of woke up the next day, I'm like, done, shaved it off. Well, then I got upset because they had the TV show called Whisker Wars come out.
Yes.
And that was right when the first year came out. And I'm like, God darn it. Like, I'm already a good start on it. I just shaved it off. I could have been like, I could have been like that much further ahead. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm going to enter the next beard contest as it comes around. So I saw the show, boom, saw it, and I'm like, I started growing it out. About 6 months later, they had Wisconsin. It was right around, they had Wisconsin Beard Off down at the High Noon Saloon.
Okay.
I don't know if they even do it anymore.
I don't think so.
And I went in there, and I actually had surgery 2 days before. I had my gallbladder taken out.
So you'd only be able to drink a little bit.
I wasn't supposed to, but I did.
Why am I surprised?
I mean, I still had stitches, like. I mean, it's 2 days after gallbladder surgery.
Oh, my God.
And I go under. I was half in a bag. It was the middle of winter, so I had shorts on. And, you know, I'm like you. I don't wear shoes very often.
Yeah.
So I'm out there with no shoes on, shorts, and, like, this shirtless sleeve thing that says Arnie Lopez. I'm out there all shirt half unbuttoned, drinking whiskey on stage, spitting stuff all over. And I got about a 4-inch beard. And there's a good competition. I got second place.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm doing this for now on. This is my gig. I grew up, and I had the beard maybe 6 months then.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm just going to keep doing this.
So what awards or places have you gotten in beard competitions?
I've probably got over 15 first places now, a bunch of seconds, a couple best in shows. I've done the Nationals 3 times. Started when I was 39. I'm 45.
Okay.
Now. And the first competition that was my first one. The second one I went to was Nationals.
Wow.
In Vegas. On my birthday of all days. Yeah, November 11th, and it was the Nationals in Vegas. So I go there, and I was in the Garibaldi, which is 8 inches and under with a full round beard with a non-styled mustache.
Okay. It's pretty much natural.
Yeah, and I got fifth place.
Not bad.
Yeah.
A national.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm doing well. And it was like my second one ever. And so I realized that all these people have these sticks. They have their gimme, like, so people remember you. You know, and you've met our friend MJ. He's got this big thing.
Oh, if MJ, who is currently, he's the
world champion
right now.
His own style, basically.
It is the most glorious beard. It is, I think it's partial, I think is what it is, styled partial.
Imperial
is what it is.
Yeah.
Google MJ Johnson Imperial Beard, and you will be very surprised at how beautiful this guy's follicles are.
Yeah, and back then he had more money and more time.
Yeah.
You have to travel. You have to get people to know. You have to sell yourself.
I mean, there's a thing to it.
Yeah. And I kept on thinking, what is my shtick going to be? What am I going to do? So I finally figured it out. I went back to my glory days. Strippers. Walter Buck. I make a goddamn rain like it's 1999.
Okay, you don't know this, but there is a Walter Buck that I got from the first beard competition that I was invited to because I met you as a listener on the radio show that I'm on.
Up. I'm like, I want Jackson.
Well, you called up one day
I'm
and
like,
you said,
I need you.
And you said, hey, I heard you're growing a beard. And I had had a baby beard at that time.
And I heard you're a comedian.
Yes, and you said, I heard you're growing a beard. We're doing this beard competition over at Capital Brewery in Middleton. Would you be interested in coming? And I said, you know what? My girlfriend at the time asked for a beard. I'm growing a beard. I would love to be a part of it. And I'm not going to lie. My beard is associated with me. Yeah. Like,
you think you can shave it off now?
No, there's no way. There's absolutely no way.
I think about it all the time.
I don't think about it at all.
I do.
I never think about it. I get people offering me all the time, and I never do it. But the reason I have the beard that I have and the person I am right now, I do have to say 90% the influence I had from Walter and that beard that you had and that first beard competition you asked me to be a part of.
Well, you were the MC.
Absolutely. And I still have my Walter Buck, and it sits on top of my dresser.
We were on CNN News.
Yes, we were. How about that? I got called the next day. They're like, you were on CNN. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Over at the beard competition. It was the most ridiculous thing ever.
So basically what I do is I go out and they like announce you, and then I go out, which is kind of weird because it doesn't really.
It's a dog show.
It is a dog show for men, but it's not how I want it to be when I made it rain, because the only thing that comes up and gets it are little kids, so it's kind of weird.
It is weird. It does get weird. It gets, because the adults don't come, wee, or
just
like, wee.
But sometimes they do. It just depends.
It really, I guess, depends on the crowd.
It depends. It depends if it's a late drunk night.
Yeah. During the day, and when it's like 95 degrees.
Yeah. When I first started doing it, wasn't so, you know, they didn't have the kids, and they tried to involve the kids because then people come. There's a reason I call them weirdo beardos.
Yeah.
Weird dudes.
Very weird.
Weird
very
dudes.
Weird dudes.
Weird.
Very weird.
I don't think I'm a very weird person.
I try to think, well, I'm weird,
I'm
but not
straight,
that kind
I'm
of
straight
weird.
I'm straight-laced. You know what you get with me. These people, you don't know.
No idea.
No idea.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
It's almost like the mustache wax gets in their brain.
Yeah.
It's pretty strange.
I think I'm one of the most straightforward ones you're going
to
see.
I would have to say, you have a crazy story. I'm not going to lie. No. You've got an insane life path, absolutely, which you can't argue with.
Oh, no.
But I guess as far as being normal, you seem to be unaffected. Yeah. And
my
have
credit's the, great. I don't owe anyone money. My house is almost paid off. I own my own house. I rent it out. I make a lot of money. I live the chicken coops free.
There you
I
go.
I travel a lot.
Nice thighs, no felonies.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I get my toes done once every 2 months. I mean, that's
really?
About the, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind a good. I like good pedicure, too.
Yeah. I get them all paid. They don't look so nasty.
No, so what would you say? Let's do a real quick frequently asked questions. What's the worst part of having the beard?
I would say just eating. I mean,
the mustache is what I said. Because here's the deal. One thing I love about
my
your
mustache
beard,
isn't that big.
I know, but it's a little bit shorter than it normally is.
Yeah.
My mustache is honestly, which I'm surprised, a bit longer than yours. Because
I can't do it.
What I like the most about yours, and this is the reason, once again, that my mustache the way it is, I like the way your mustache looks. Yeah. So I keep mine long. But it's eating a sandwich.
I can't get any longer. I wish I could. Yes, I lose a lot of competitions because of it.
It's like there's a defense when you're trying to eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
It is very difficult. Ice cream.
Honey, maple syrup.
MJ was just recently doing an interview on ESPN, and he was talking about honey. And he said the only – because due to his, it's mostly mustache.
Mm-hmm.
He said the only safe way to eat honey is in the shower. That's the only place that you can eat.
A lot of safe things to do in the shower.
Well, here's what I find myself apologizing to people when I'm out to eat. Because I tell them, like, I'm sorry for what it is that you're going to see. And like anytime you've seen it, when I drink this whiskey, it dribbles right through my beard.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me.
And
taco sauce, they don't want to see that.
Listen, people, it's very cooling in the summer. Because what happens is, like, it's like air pockets. And when wind gets in there and your sweat's inside there, it's like, relaxing.
And
it's not
thing.
Stuck to my, it's not like long hair. It's not stuck on my chest. It hangs. Why don't you ask people with long hair, man, that must suck. Is it hot?
Well, here's what I say to people all the time about that, too, is why do you think everybody in Saudi Arabia has a giant beard? It's not because it's incredibly hot. It's because it's cooling.
Yeah.
And it does an opposite effect. In the wintertime, it can freeze you. Why do you think here's a little known fact. Eskimos, which are, if you know an Eskimo in Alaska, they don't have a lot of facial hair. Nature has removed their ability to grow big facial hair because ice will freeze. And you've got some pictures I've seen where you've got some ice frozen to your beard. It can become a problem in the wintertime.
Yeah. I don't go lick any poles unless it's in a strip club.
Yeah, not usually. Not usually. No. Well, I got to say, I'm three glasses into Basil Hayden right now. I want to thank you so much for coming in and sitting down.
Hope I didn't talk too much.
Not at all. This has got to be one of the most interesting stories and one of the most fun.
And that's a condensed. There's crazier stuff. There is definitely
just
crazier
stuff. Wait until next season. We're going to get into Walter, the crazier stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really want to thank you.
My other claim to fame.
What's that?
I was on the front pages of USA Today.
How'd you get on USA Today?
USA Today. That's in that. And
I know what USA Today is. How'd you get
it? It's a paper.
Yeah, I'm aware of what a paper is.
They don't have those anymore.
No, not so much. They don't.
Why FSU?
Okay.
We played Florida State, Florida for 1 and 2. And Florida actually was number one, and we were number one earlier in the year, and Florida State was – and then they became one, and we became two. And when we played them, we beat them at the very last minute of the game.
Hot dang.
We rushed the field. I climbed the goalpost. Got on top of the goalpost. I had my arm around the stance as it goes up, and there's a picture of me on USA Today going like this with my arm out. You can't really see this on the radio, but or in the pod. I had my arm wrapped around, and I was holding out, like giving the FSU like horns or love sign. And then everyone climbed, and the pole came down while I was on.
No.
Yeah.
You came down.
Came down on the pole.
Did you get hurt?
So bad. Couldn't move my arm for a week.
Oh,
I had yellow paint. I had yellow paint on my face and on my arm. I drove home through three tornadoes that night, half in a bag, shouldn't have been driving, one arm, all the way to Paducah, Kentucky, through the worst rain tornadoes. Like, my buddy slept the whole way because he was drinking for three straight days.
You know what you do for that? Put some alcohol on it.
Put some alcohol on it. I did.
Cheers.
Cheers. That's my other crazy story.
I really hope you enjoyed season one of Jackson's American Tales. Season two will be coming shortly, but you got a little hiatus. And while you wait, go back and re-listen to any episodes that you may have missed. And please, as always, click like, drop a rating, leave a review, share with a friend. Thank you so much for listening to Jackson's American Tales.